Before we dive in, two things. First, thank you. Listeners like you are why we do this. Our team works hard on every episode to ensure we bring you the best content possible. Second, it's a gift-giving time of year. People ask us all the time, what's your setup or what's your favorite gear? We put all of our favorites together in our new Generation Leader gift guide. Find recommendations for those hard to buy for people on your list and get them something great this year. Find the gift guide at newgenerationleader.fm/gift and we'll keep this up to date all year round. All right, let's get on with the show. Name something 70% of us have in common. There aren't many things, but our common dislike of doing laundry is one of them. Co-founder Dan Feliciano and his team put together a game plan, finding a mutual win-win between busy families looking to take back time, workers in the gig economy who don't mind doing laundry and have extra capacity in their washers and dryers, and they built Clothesline. Dan and I walked down memory lane in his career to some pretty insightful lessons from his decade in the Marines, his work in the oil industry, and how that experience and his family helped connect the dots to form Clothesline. If you've ever wanted someone to do your laundry for you, Dan is your guy.
Welcome to the New Generation Leader Podcast. We're giving you the tools you need to lead in the digital world. Ready to reach your true potential? This is the New Generation Leader Podcast.
All right, Dan, you're building a business around one of our greatest headaches being laundry. And you're doing it with a deep focus on the people side. How did you get started in laundry services?
Yeah, I think I have the same story that most middle-aged married men with a family have, is that your life becomes a lot faster than it was when you were single or when you were married without kids. You know, as soon as you start adding people to the clan, things become a lot more jumbled. And so what ended up happening was, you end up just spending your entire weekend doing the things that you have to do, and your desire to do the things that you want to do starts to diminish, right? Because every weekend is filled with Little League and soccer and band practice, and my daughter's in the school play. So what ends up happening is your whole entire life is filled with these chores, and there's a lot of options to outsource different chores that are available in the economy nowadays, right? So if you don't want to do your own grocery shopping, you can find people who will do your grocery shopping for you. And if you don't want to cook, you can find people who will cook and deliver meals to your front door. But one of the things that's never really evolved is like the outsourcing of laundry. Even though we've had laundromats forever, they've always been kind of like a passive income model where you can have to bring your laundry to the laundromat, and then maybe they have washing full, maybe they don't. There's only about 25,000 laundromats in the entire United States, and so they're not evenly dispersed throughout the population. And so we used to live in an urban environment, then we moved out to the suburbs, and there was no opportunity for us to outsource laundry, even though it is me and my wife's least favorite chore. And turns out it's actually 70% of the United States' least favorite chore. The only thing that's more disliked is washing dishes, and there's really not anything I can do about that. But there was something I could do about laundry, and my co-founder and I figured out that we could figure out a way to take the gig economy and match it with the laundry outsourcing industry, which hasn't evolved in forever, and allow more people the opportunity to outsource their laundry and get the time back that they've been, you know, kind of suffering through over the last 200 years. And so that's what we did. We built a company, we built an app, which is basically a marketplace app where we allow service providers, clotheslineers we call them, to help people in their local community with laundry. And in most cases, our service providers are moms or single moms or moms with traditional families that just have extra time. They're doing laundry anyways, and this is an opportunity for them to monetize their laundry machine. And not like nobody's on our app trying to become a millionaire. They're just on there trying to make some extra money to do something with their families that they want to do. A lot of times we hear about funding travel baseball or a trip to Disney or something like that. And so we've just picked up two families, one's that's overburdened and another family which has a little bit more time, and we're connecting them.
You're not lying about the activities and time and how that crunches and pushes the boundaries of our weekends, our evenings, all of that extra time. And with every one of those extra activities comes that much more laundry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's never ending cycle. It's crazy. And on top of that, it's not really just the actual activity of doing the laundry, but when you have to, it's just always omnipresent in your life, right? So, I mean, most people have a laundry chair. I mean, we have one in our house, and that's a chair where all of most husbands' clothes go. And it either goes from that chair into the wash, whether it's been used or not, or it goes from that chair back on your body 10, 15 times. You don't know what's clean and what's dirty, all because you don't want to actually put it in the hamper, because you know once it goes in the hamper, now you have to actually wash it. And so, like, there's this dance around laundry where whether you're doing it or not doing it, you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about how much time it's going to take out of your life or how much time it's going to take out of your family's life. And really up until Clothesline and a couple other options, there really was no way for you to kind of like outsource that in an economical way.
What I see in the marketplace, you touched on this with laundromats. Then on the other end of the highly commercialized industrial level laundry services that are servicing hospitals and nursing homes, yeah, and that sort of facility. And so you found with the 70% number, that's a pretty incredible statistic about how many of us dislike laundry. So between you and your co-founder, who became the laundry expert?
Yeah. So when there's only two of you, you both need to learn everything about every part of the business. And so the business itself has only been around for 2 years operating, but we took about a year just studying the laundry industry and what was available out there and what wasn't available out there, and whether or not this was going to be a viable opportunity for people. And then, of course, during that time, we were building out the app and the technology to support this idea. But yeah, no, we spent a lot of time learning about laundry and the ins and outs of laundry. Obviously, we've both been doing laundry forever. I started doing laundry when I was probably like 8 or 9 years old in my family. It was just one of those things that you start doing. And then once you've been doing it as long as that, I'm going to turn 49 this year. So 41 years of laundry experience. And in my family, it's funny, if you got in trouble when you were a kid, you ended up having to do all the kids' laundry. So you learned real quick how to do your laundry well and how to be efficient at doing it so that you didn't have to do everybody else's laundry as well. So we both kind of really took it on ourselves to really understand what are the ins and outs of this, what are the capabilities of residential laundry machines, because that's what we're monetizing. Is it a viable option for people to do this? So, you know, you hear the horror stories of Uber drivers and they drive their car into the ground and you increase your maintenance costs. And so we didn't want to do that to our service providers. And we were like, how much are people actually using their washing machines? And it's amazing. Like, most people will only have used about 40% of their washer's capacity before they buy a new one. And so based on manufacturers, you know, estimated uses, we hardly are using these things at all. They sit in our basements or in laundry rooms, underutilized. And so we wanted to make sure, like I said, that we weren't overutilizing an asset already. And it turns out we're not. We're actually giving people the opportunity to use their asset to its fullest, and then monetize it as well.
You also referenced the other side. So not only the laundry expertise, but the technology backing. Did you or your co-founder have a background in technology to, you know, build an app for this?
Yeah. So neither one of us are coders. I have a bunch of experience on the tech side. I had worked with building, worked with other companies that have built apps in the past. And so I understood the project management side. I understood like what needed to be done in order to produce an app that would support a two-sided marketplace like this, front end and back end, coders that we would need in order to make this happen, and then quality assurance. So the entire project management process, I understood from the beginning to the end. And so I worked as the project manager as we were working our way through this, but we outsourced the actual coding of the stuff to a third party company. And then we just worked as project managers throughout, but only because I had had experience building apps in the past. Did we understand that? Because there's a lot that goes in there. There's a lot that can go wrong. There's a lot of communication that needs to happen throughout the process that to make sure that what we're trying to accomplish is what they're delivering. And then there's so much testing, like unbelievable amounts of testing and redoing and testing and redoing. So all of that has to be managed clearly. And I learned a lot of that through my time in the Marine Corps, but then also my time at Shell managing projects and making sure that everybody understood their role and that the process to make sure that their roles were delivering the product that we were looking for was done and done properly.
You've built an interesting model of a marketplace community with rules, guidelines, expectations. I was diving into what it takes to become a clothesliner, the expectations you have, how you go about getting the resources, the supplies you need, and you've set that whole ecosystem up in a pretty lean way in this gig economy style format. What's your connection to your clotheslineners?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of servitude, really. I mean, they're the front line. In the Marine Corps, we used to have a saying that said, everybody in the Marine Corps supports the grunt on the front line. So I was a helicopter pilot. My job was, you know, we used to narrow it down to a very simple thing to remember. All pilots in the Marine Corps are delivering bombs, trons, gas, and trash on target, on time. That's your only responsibility, is to be on time and on target for the Marines that you are supporting. And I carried that kind of thought process into everything that I did when I worked in the corporate world and when I was an executive there to when I started to build this company. And so really everything that we do, my co-founder and I, and you talked about lean, it really is just me, my co-founder, our back-end engineer, and a marketing expert who've built this company. We've expanded to 8 states, and we have 1,500 customers and 500 service providers on our platform. And it's really just about, like, hey, making sure that they're comfortable and that they understand what they need to do in order to be successful. And if they do those things, then they're going to be successful. And what ends up happening is you build trust with them by saying, hey, do this, this, and this, not in a directive portion, but like, hey, this is what we've learned from experience. If you do this, and if you do that, and if you do this, you'll be successful. And then they go out and they do those things and they're successful, and you start building that trust. And then they start to share that trust with other clotheslineers. So we have a large Facebook group where people can interchange thoughts and ideas on how to be successful. And by continually building trust within the group and providing them with resources and stuff that they need in order to be successful, answering the phone calls when they come, answering the emails when they have questions, even if they're small questions, all those little things provide them with the trust that they need to feel like they're supported. And then they go out and they provide a service that's exceptional. And so then it becomes like this big feedback loop where everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing because they believe that the next person in that feedback loop is going to do what they need to do in order to be successful.
You've really leveraged the power of community to build the business, not hierarchy. I mean, you just quantified it. four of you on the back end and all of your clotheslines on the front lines.
Yeah.
And the support, the training, the best practices are all coming from them. What else are you seeing from the people side that's a win for them?
Yeah. So, I mean, they'll share also like ways to get customers. And so when we built our marketplace, we did not build it on like an Uber model where it's randomized, you know, where you never know who you're going to get. And that person never knows if they're going to ever see you again. And the only way that you can, they're controlled is through like the fear of a bad review, right? Everybody's afraid of a bad review. And so, you know, an Uber driver is going to give you the best service that they can give you because they're afraid to get a bad review. And if they get too many bad reviews, then they get kicked off the service. Like, we decided that wasn't the model that we were going to do. Our model is we give people the ability to have a successful little business on our platform. And so that motivates them to do the best job that they can, because if they are good, then they can build up a little customer base. And now they have repeat business every single week, the same people every single time. And they get better and better at servicing their clients because they know them very well. And then they don't feel uncomfortable about where their next dollar is going to be. They don't have to be out there trying to scrounge for their next dollar every single week. They know that money's coming. And so the clotheslines will share that experience with other clotheslines who come on board, and they'll be like, hey, how do I get orders? And they're like, oh, this is how you can find customers, and you bring them onto the platform. And these are little tricks that I do when I return the laundry that people seem to respond to. And if you do that, they'll stay on board. Maybe they'll create a subscription. They'll use you week over week. And so little things like that about success and building a little ecosystem within themselves, a little book of business. Those are the little tricks that people will help each other. And we have, without ever even initiating this, we have like little super clotheslines in different markets that will call new clotheslines as they come on board and be like, hey, you know, I saw that you're a new clothesliner. This is what I did. This is what you can do to be helpful. And Cam's my co-founder, we'd be like, man, we didn't even know that was happening, right? Like, that's amazing. And so then we'll reach out to them people and be like, hey, like, how can we help you do that more effectively or efficiently? So, you know, because some of them be like, hey, don't let them know that I'm doing this. I don't know if I'm allowed. And we'll be like, no, definitely do it. You know, like, be whoever you can be, like, be the most of whoever you can be and help these other people be the most of whoever they can be. And that's kind of like how we treat people.
We were talking about the word compliance before we started recording today. And there's compliance. Obviously, you have rules and expectations and pretty specific ones I've seen in what you're expecting clotheslines to do, the bar you're expecting them to meet. Do not turn it on high heat, which is it's a new laundry tip I learned today. Yeah. But on the flip side of compliance, you've got this creativity. What do you think is the secret ingredient that helped your clotheslines feel the freedom to go out and initiate some of those new ideas?
Yeah. And I mean, you'll find this with most former Marines that you'll ever interview. I don't know if you've interviewed other Marines, but a lot of stuff that we do in our adult life, quote unquote adult life, the life that we lead after we get out of the Marine Corps, is influenced by things that were ingrained in us while we were in the Marine Corps. And one of the things that's ingrained with you as a pilot in the Marine Corps is they give you this book. It's called the NATOPS, Naval Aviation Training Operations Procedures and Systems. But I flew a helicopter 100 feet long. It was a CH-53 Echo. It was 100 feet long, flew 170 miles an hour. We could aerial refuel. We could go anywhere in the world and do anything that needed to be done in a helicopter. And the book that had all of the stuff that I needed to know about that helicopter was only about that thick, right? Because the way the Marine Corps thought of things is, these are all of the things that you absolutely have to know And if there was something that somebody did in the past that resulted in that helicopter crashing or people losing their lives, it's in this book. Everything else, go do it. You know, like, go figure it out, right? Your job is to get these Marines and this bombs, traumas, and trash on target, on time. We're not going to give you a book that teaches you to do that. Like, your job is to go out there and do that. These are the things that you can't do. Everything else you can do. And so when I was flying, or I was a flight school instructor with a bunch of Air Force pilots, they have like a stack of books like this, because in the Air Force, they have a bunch of books that tell them all the things that they can do. This is exactly what you can do. Everything else you cannot do. And so when you look at the world like that, where these are all the little things you can't do, everything else you can, it opens up the world to creativity, right? And so when you were looking at the clothesliner training, there's a list in there. It's like 5 or 6 slides of the things you absolutely cannot do because it will be bad for the laundry. Everything else, like, go out there, man, set the world on fire, right? If we don't say don't do it, like, go see if it's something that will work for you. And if it does work for you, share it with the rest of the community on our Facebook group, or reach out, you know, and chat to some other people and say, hey, this worked for me and it can work for you. And it doesn't break, you know, the 7 or 8 absolute rules that Dan and Cam have put in place based on, you know, industry standards or whatever, that's going to ruin somebody's clothes. So that's our thought process, right? Like, be creative, you know, understand what is going to hurt you or hurt our customers. Don't do that, but everything else, go out and do it.
Taking that approach, how many hard conversations, corrective conversations, have you had to tackle with clotheslineers?
I can't tell you a number, but it's not a lot. I probably could count. So we've been in business 2 years. I could probably count them in, you know, on my hands and feet. So maybe 20 at the most. And really, it always comes down to just a mistake, right? And so at the end of it, it's humans performing an action. And so they'll have made a mistake, right? They'll have put something together that shouldn't have been together, or they'll have gotten some special instructions from a customer that just got lost in the shuffle. And so, you know, finding out what happened, believing them when they're saying something to you that was the case, being open, you know, to a discussion. Generally, what we find is, you know, it's some kind of human behavior. Or, you know, one of the things that we did a show that was, you know, really important was finding the root cause of an issue. And in most cases, it's not the human. The human is the end result of a bad process, right? So, you know, they may have made a mistake, but there maybe was something wrong with the app along the way that made them think that it was okay to do something when it wasn't okay to do something. Or maybe there was a behavior that they were doing all along that probably should have been stopped a long time ago, but there was no system in place that stopped it. And so it just became habit for them. And then at some point that habit became an incident, you know, and then we had to step in and take control of that. But generally speaking, the clotheslineers do the right thing 99% of the time. And that extra 1% of the time, it's really about trying to find out what the root cause was that allowed that incident to happen.
I think there's something to that curiosity and root cause. By exploring the root cause, trying to solve, not assuming the worst, assuming the best. You know, there's an intersection of all of those components, the freedom that you've given. And just to do a little math, I mean, you've got the numbers up on your website. 1,500 customers, you said, almost 10,000 orders. And only 20 conversations. So it's even better than 99% and one. Yeah. It's like 99.8%.
Yeah, yeah. And it really is. It runs by itself. I mean, we're like I said, it's just the four of us here. And you know, we'll do 100 orders today. You know, like, we'll average 100 orders a day or more than 100 orders a day. And Cam and I are sitting here still doing business. You know, we still have other things to do. So that's not where we spend our day, because our clotheslineers are out there making it happen.
But it seems counterintuitive to a lot of the leaders I talk to give that kind of freedom. I want to highlight something you said a couple minutes ago that I've been thinking about for a few weeks now. It really is reversing that Marine mindset that you talked about, that everybody is serving the person on the front lines, whether you're in a healthcare system or you're running clothesline or you're in any other business, especially in customer service facing businesses. If you think that your job is to serve the front lines, then that empowers the front lines. And there is something good, there's something beneficial, there's something life-giving about that kind of mindset. I want to shift gears slightly to the nuts and bolts side of the business. So we've talked about the people, the mindset, your approach in growth. What is it like for Clothesline to launch in a new area? You've mentioned you're only in a few select markets right now. What's the decision making that gets that going, and what does it take to even think about that kind of expansion for you guys?
Yeah, so launching new markets can be difficult, depending on if we don't get the demographic review right. So we have a formula where, you know, we kind of can identify an area or whether or not it's going to be a successful area for us. And sometimes we don't get it right. It's just, like I said, we're only 2 years old, and so we're still learning a lot of this stuff. But when we do get it right, the hardest part really is this is a behavioral change, right? Like, outsourcing your laundry is a behavioral change. For 50 years, we've been watching commercials about the Whirlpool man not having a job because the washing machine is so good that it doesn't ever need to be serviced, right?
We know that's not true.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not but Whirlpool, like, but you know, everybody's got their favorite brand.
Exactly. And so for so long, because the laundry industry never really evolved, and the outsourcing of laundry, which has been going on since the Romans time. I mean, the word laundry is part of like the launder, which was these people in the Roman areas who used to do everybody else's laundry. They would do the citizens' laundry, right? So outsourcing laundry has been around forever, but it never really evolved. And what ended up happening is we started doing it ourselves in our own houses, and then it just became culture for us to do it ourselves. And even more so, one of the lessons that Cam and I learned along the way is that not only has it become part of like our responsibility in our houses to do it, it's become emotionally attached to the people who are responsible for doing it. So we interview our customers on a weekly basis. And what we find a lot of times is that one, the laundry responsibility is almost exclusively on women, especially in families. And the women feel almost a emotional attachment to the responsibility to doing laundry, which is not something we anticipated. We saw it as a service, an activity that needed to be done. We didn't attach enough emotional attachment to it. And so one of the things we constantly say is like, one of the questions we ask ourselves is like, why are like moms and women so emotionally attached to laundry, but men whose responsibility is like outside, quote unquote, have stopped like mowing their lawns a long time ago, right? Like every single house that has a washing machine in it also has a lawnmower that's gathering rust in the garage, but the husband like has a lawn care service that's been mowing the laundry forever, right? But that's the way it is. And so when we launch new markets, the big thing that we have to do is try to first let people know that there's a service that's available that will do this easily and economically, right? So we are usually 30 to 50% less than it would cost you to outsource your laundry to a laundromat where you have to go and drop it off and pick it up yourself. So we do pickup and delivery. It's free, and the service itself is usually 30 to 50% less. And so we let people know, hey, it's economical, that you can do it if you want to. And then the next thing we have to do is try to convince people that it's okay to outsource the laundry and to take that time that you spend doing it back. And that, again, has to do a lot with the community. So we bring on our clotheslines first. We empower them. We make them available to our community. And then we go out and we start to try to collect customers and we start to spread the word. We do a lot of community development in our markets. We do clothing drives like all of April this last year. Just right now is our clothing drive month, where our clotheslines will also pick up clothing donations when they pick up a load of laundry. So if you leave out a bag of clothing donations, we'll drop it off. And we partner with like Big Brothers Big Sisters if they have a clothing drive thing. So we partner with the Salvation Army to allow people to, you know, donate their clothes. And then we'll do other community stuff where we'll do farmers markets, or we'll sponsor a little league team or something like that, because we want people to know that, you know, we're in the community, where our clotheslines are in the community. Even though our headquarters is in New York, all of our clotheslines live there, right? They're real people, usually down the street from you, who just happen to have time to do your laundry. So that portion is a little more difficult. You know, it's not something that's really been done a lot before. And so opening up a market takes a little bit longer than, you know, for other things that are more established. But generally, the nuts and bolts are: bring on your clotheslines, empower them, help them to be successful, get them set up and ready to go, and then start to introduce the service to your customers, and then allow them to meet and connect with the clotheslines through the app, and then you start getting the ball rolling.
One of the books I read in probably March, April of 2020 was Play Bigger, about category creation. Do you feel like you guys are creating a new category?
I mean, I don't think it's a new category, but I think it's one that's been wildly underserviced for a long time. And I think that it's falling in line with the outsourcing of other services along the way, right? So the grocery shopping, it started with the grocery shopping and the outsourcing of cooking your food. And then there's Rover.com, which is a $1 billion business just for walking dogs and stuff. And so the way Cam and I look at it is like, people are outsourcing things that they don't even hate to do. Like, I like walking my dog and I like going grocery shopping. Like, I enjoy going to the grocery store, and people are like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm like, they should naturally want to outsource their laundry and hate it, you know, like, let's do that. Let's figure that out. And so, I think as long as this concept of people feeling comfortable, clawing back time by outsourcing some of the chores that they've been doing all their life, that this will continue on, in a successful trend like we've seen up to date.
It certainly sounds like a perfect match made in heaven for everybody. A win-win. All right, Dan, as you look back over your career, obviously you've pulled threads of life lessons throughout our conversation today. But if you look at your recent experience, what's something you feel like you've learned here lately that you wish you had known earlier on in your career?
I wish I hadn't been so attached to the role that I was in and the perceived authority associated with that role, and more in tune with like building the authority. So what I'm talking about, like, is when I joined the Marine Corps, I joined as an officer in the Marine Corps. And so as an officer in the Marine Corps, you're allotted certain authority just by the fact that you're an officer, right? And And it took me a little while to realize this concept that I'm talking to you about right now, which is like the people on the ground are the ones who are doing the job, and they give you that authority. Now, they don't give it to you as freely or of free will in the Marine Corps as they do in the real world, but they can make your life pretty hard if you think you're an officer and they need to do what you're telling them to do just because you're an officer. And so it took me a little while to learn, hey, like, you need to be humble in everything that you do, and you need to work hard and set an example that you want other people to follow. And if you do that, then people will follow you naturally, regardless of what stature or role that you play. And so throughout my life, I've constantly been learning that lesson over and over again, that humility and hard work and setting example gets me way further than simply being a CEO in a company or being an executive at an oil company. Really, like, going out there and being in the fields and of the people allows me to be much more successful than simply being a director or lieutenant or captain or whatever it was that I was in the Marine Corps. That's way more powerful.
That's a good lesson for anybody anywhere to pay attention to those relational dynamics and not just prove their worth, not just push what they're doing either downstream or upstream, but build connections and build the people side. And it certainly sounds like you're building the people side at Clothesline. So if we have any potential Clotheslineers listening or potential Clothesline customers, how can people connect with you, KM, and the Clothesline team?
Yeah, you could go to clothesline.com. It's with a Y because we're a tech startup, and so we have to spell everything wrong, but it's clotheslyne.com. And you can learn about us there. Right? We share how we work things, and you can see some of our clotheliners on our webpage. They're just regular people out there trying to do some things, and you can see how we do our business, where we're operating. And if you're in one of our areas, we'd love to have you on either side of the marketplace. And if you're not in one of our areas, send us a little note and we'll open up. You know, well, as long as we can find some clotheliners in your area, we'll open up and you can get your weekends back.
Well, 4.5-star reviews, almost pushing 10,000. I'm sure that's the website count, so you might already be at 10,000 at this point, but exciting numbers, an incredible business you're building, and the values both for the customer and for your clotheliners, pretty impressive. So thanks for diving in, Dan. There's so much to take away from your personal story and this clothesline story that I think anybody can apply in any industry of leadership. So thanks for diving in today.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the New Generation Leader podcast. Subscribe today on your podcasting platform. Download the show notes and unlock your true leadership potential at newgenerationleader.fm. Thanks for listening today, and we look forward to seeing you next time on the New Generation Leader podcast.
Thanks again for listening to today's show. Don't forget to check out the New Generation Leader gift guide at newgenerationleader.fm/gift. Thanks to Brian, Jim, Jay, and the team behind the scenes. We'll see you next time on the New Generation Leader podcast.